Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, gambling bill stalls. Also, ethics reform opens the door for corruption. And the legislature wants to decide who is a woman.
Keep gliding, keep gliding.
Glide on, sister. Glide on. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and as always, I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and the one and only...
Thank God.
Josh Boone, investigative reporter and columnist at APR.
That's right. They, as my grandmother used to say, they beat the hell out of the mold maker.
That's right. I love your grandmother. Didn't even know her.
Yeah. Anyway, there's... A lot of truth to that. Yes, there is. Josh, you have done more to cover gambling in this state than probably any living soul.
Yes. I thought it was over. I'm like Michael Corleone. Just when I think I'm out, they pull me back.
You know, the House passed this bill that some politicians would call, it's a beautiful bill. It's a lovely bill. Yeah. That would allow the people to vote on gaming, a full, complete package that the governor has called for.
Yes.
That the Speaker of the House has called for. That I thought the President pro tem had called for. And now when it gets to the Senate, all of a sudden.
Yeah.
There's hiccups.
It's gambling in Alabama. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened between the House and the Senate, because honestly, the thought among many people has always been, well, we got to get it out of the House and we're not even going to bother with it in the Senate because we've already passed this thing twice and we can do it again with ease. No worries. We got this. And then, you know, there's worries. and honestly, if you look at the math of the thing, it makes sense that there would be. If you're opponents of this and you're trying to peel people away, well, the Senate would probably be your easiest location because the numbers are much smaller than the House.
Right.
You have far fewer options if you're pushing this bill to go to people to back up votes when they peel them away. And so I think that's kind of what happened. Now, I honestly think that it's probably still going to pass.
Right.
But... right now, I think they've got to get some people on the same page behind the scenes. The governor's office is going to have to apply some pressure.
Yeah.
I think they're one of the places that they're probably going to have to apply some pressure is on the president pro tem of the Senate to get involved as well and do what Nathaniel Ledbetter did in the House, which is push people to do this and say, we're going to do it. Otherwise, there are going to be some consequences for things.
Well, also, you know, she and the budget chair in the Senate have quite a bit of pull when it comes to that. And fact that they can halt some of the money going to those areas.
Sure they can.
I know when the gas tax went through, Senator Jim Clinton didn't get a teaspoon worth of asphalt in his
Well, that's what he said.
Yes,
he didn't vote for it.
Because he didn't vote for it. So they do have a lot of pull here and being able to get this.
Well,
they just have to do it.
It's very true. And that's just how politics works, you know. And a lot of these people are getting pressure from Alpha Insurance and the Alabama Policy Institute, two of the most dishonest organizations I have ever had the displeasure to have to deal with.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I think that people ought to keep in mind, or two things, is one, this bill does not approve gambling, okay? It approves a constitutional amendment that allows people to vote on whether or not they want this gambling. And so people can do this. The other thing is that according to polling, and I don't think anyone has disputed the polling, this is extremely popular with people. Not necessarily the plan, but the idea of being able to vote on a plan for gambling is extremely popular with people. And so I don't understand when we say that the governor's office, I think people misconstrue sometimes. I'll say the governor's office is pressuring people. She's actually pressuring people to do what the people want. She's pressuring lawmakers to do what people want.
Well, again, the governor doesn't have any say in this.
Sure.
She doesn't sign the bill or anything like that. But nothing big ever happens in Alabama unless the governor's behind it. And she's behind this. And you may think you can wake Kay Ivey out, or you may think you can tap dance around her, but she has a lot of power, and she's still working hard and getting things done.
Right. Now, when people been waiting to vote on this for 20-something years, okay? When we first started this, everybody asked me, when are they going to pass gambling? Now, nobody asks because they're so disillusioned by what the legislature has done over the last few years of not actually getting the people's work done that they've just stopped asking altogether.
This is the biggest problem, one of the biggest problems in Alabama, is that they do not respect the wishes of the people at the State House of Montgomery. The 1901 Constitution gave them all the power, and they use it to harm. They don't use it for good.
Well, it's the people's fault. I mean, it is. It's the people's fault for this. I mean, all right, let's say they don't do this gambling deal, okay? They let it fall through the cracks, and it's not what people want.
Right.
What's the consequence?
Well, but, and
they're not going to vote them out.
They're not. They're not because it's so gerrymandered.
Yeah, exactly.
That it only takes, we got one district whose representative was elected by 3,500 people.
Yeah, I was going to say.
3,500.
It would be so easy for people to say, oh, you know what? That pisses me off.
Yeah.
We're not gonna stand for this. Yeah. And we're gonna organize people to vote. 3,501 people and not a lot of people. You know?
Yeah, I agree. Well, I want to move on to this next one. But I think we can see somehow that they may save this gaming bill. Every year, Senator Gerald Allen wants to make it harder to remove Confederate monuments and glorifying the lost cause and putting that in black people's faces. Mm-hmm. He tried to come back this year with another bill to make it $5,000 a day if cities change the name of a street. But Susan, it's stalled in committee and looks like it may die.
Enough already. Do you not have anything else to talk about, Senator Allen? Really? I mean, people are so tired of this. He's not even able to get the votes in committee. God, I hope it dies.
Well, I mean, Josh, I call this the slaughterhouse edition of the legislative session. But it looks like for once they're going to let this silliness not get any worse. Yeah. But it's still awfully insensitive and bigoted to allow these monuments to stand in black communities and in black people's faces.
Well, I mean, it's understandable that a Confederate monument would be wanting to approve a Confederate monument, but it's honestly, didn't a hospital close in Gerald Allen's district recently?
Yeah.
He didn't care about that.
He cares about the Confederacy.
Don't they face a number of issues in that district? I mean, he's a senator.
Yeah.
And in some cases, you can almost excuse some of the state representatives because they represent much smaller districts and there's so many of them and stuff. But, I mean, he can actually affect what's happening there in a great and meaningful way. No, he's not.
He's been there a long time. He knows how this process works.
What do you, and not to mention, I've been in those meetings where people, his black colleagues, have said to why this is hurtful to them and why they take great offense to it. And he's listened to them say, I understand what you're saying. And then he continues to bring it up.
Because he understands, but he doesn't care.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
It's time. Time we had someone in Congress fighting for us. As Democratic leader in the State House, Anthony Daniels helped steer millions of dollars into our district, fighting to raise wages, invest in our infrastructure, and create good jobs. Now he's passed a new law, removing state taxes on overtime pay, putting more money in our pockets. It's time for Anthony Daniels for Congress. One of us for all of us.
I'm Anthony Daniels, and I approve this message.
Your home is your most valuable asset, but what if someone tried to steal it from you? Property fraud is one of the fastest growing areas of fraud in the country today.
As a district attorney, I've seen firsthand the devastating effects of property fraud. That's why I'm proud to support the Montgomery County Probate Court's REACT program.
REACT is designed to protect your property and to give you peace of mind. By signing up, you'll receive an email notification if a document is filed against your property.
This program is a game changer. It has the potential to prevent fraud and protect countless homeowners throughout Montgomery County.
So don't wait. Sign up for REACT today and protect your home.
Protect your home with REACT. Sign up today.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Susan, you and I have spent years studying the ethics code of Alabama, exposing those who violated the ethics code of Alabama. Josh has as well. Matt Simpson, representative from down in Baldwin County, is getting ready to introduce a total rewrite of the ethics code in Alabama. And that rewrite, if passed, will open up the legislature and public officials the right to hold an orgy of greed and corruption like they haven't seen since the days of Caligula.
I tell you, the simplest way.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You think that's rough, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
All right, maybe.
Hyperbole is your thing. Go ahead.
Maybe L. Caligula, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Nice.
L. Duce. Yeah.
I got a simple solution if this is what Simpson wants to do. Get rid of the ethics commission and do away with the ethics law. Because that's what this does.
Exactly.
It's exactly what it does. But yeah. Why bother with all of the doodling and the amendments and this, that, the other? Just get rid of them.
Window
dressing.
Yeah, it really is.
Because that's what they're gutting everything to the point that they want to be able to appoint the commissioners. Yeah. The legislature, who they're overseeing, wants to, appoint the commissioners to the commission.
Well, okay.
Seems fine. I'm sure it's fine.
Maybe it was a little hyperbole with the Caligula thing.
It's
but
not
true,
far from
Josh. There'll be more restaurants opening and private dining halls and suit joints.
Sure, listen. Because
lobbyists are going to pay for everything for these
deals. Look, man, there are some clothing stores in Montgomery that are really excited about this.
Okay? Yes, they are.
Champion at the bit.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, Kyle Whitmire with AL.com made a pretty good point the other day, which is you never hear firefighters and policemen complaining about the ethics laws. You know, you never hear it. You never hear, oh, man, what are we going to do with these ethics laws, you know? It's never a problem for them. And I'll take it a step further, and I'll say, you know, even inside the room, there are dozens of lawmakers who go down to Montgomery every year in session and all throughout the rest of the year, and they never have a problem with the ethics laws. They never hear them complain. So a lot of these folks are business owners. Yeah. They own multiple businesses that do business with the state.
Yeah.
And they still somehow or another manage to never even consider running afoul of the ethics laws and never have a problem.
And then another part of this ethics law is to put it, not in the AG's office. Of course, the AG doesn't do anything about ethics these days anyway. But to put it down to, you know, local DAs.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how overwhelmed these offices are going to be? Yeah. They're already overwhelmed, and now you're going to put this burden on them too?
So that
nothing ever gets done because it'll be buried.
No
local
level. District attorney is going to prosecute a representative from their district or a senator from their district.
You know, people, I don't think, I know, that they don't necessarily understand what the commission does on a daily basis. And I think that's one of the biggest problems here, is that 90% of their work, probably even more than that, is fielding phone calls from people saying, hey, am I okay to do this?
Yeah.
Hey, am I okay to do this? Yeah. Who's going to answer those questions?
Well, there's nobody. There won't be anybody.
Yeah, no. Because they're moving it to the AG's office, and there's nobody to do it.
They don't have to worry about it anymore because the ethics law itself won't exist. They don't have to worry if they're violated or not.
There's no violation for taking all kinds of gifts, for them giving money and jobs to your family members. I mean, again, the Ethics Commission basically is a repository for records, and they can issue some remands publicly or privately.
Right, yeah. Or it really is comical. But, you know, and it's sad because this happened. I mean, look, this is what they used to complain about with the Democrats, you know. And it was because they had been in power for a while and they thought, damn, you know, we got all this power. We ought to be able to help ourselves and our families and our friends.
Yeah.
And they spent years doing that. And the Republicans were screaming, this is wrong. What are we doing? Yeah. And then they fixed it in less than two years. The guy that fixed it was going to jail.
Emergency session so it could get done under Bob Riley before Bob Riley got out of office.
The thing that it really strikes me as perhaps ironic is that if you go to Washington, D.C., which is supposed to be the swamp, you can't take a dime if you're in the House or the Senate. You can't take a dime from a lobbyist. You can't take a dime from anybody. What these guys get paid $50,000 a year.
For a part-time job.
And they got to have all these gifts. Something's wrong here.
Yeah. It is. It's a self-enrichment dish is what it is. And also, I think there are some politics at play behind the scenes between the Ethics Commission and the AG's office. They're in a little tizzy with each other back and forth. And I think that has played a big role in this. I think they're trying to strip away some of the power of the Ethics Commission over at the AG's office because they disagree with some of the decisions that have been made of late.
Well, they didn't want us to unleash all the crazy stuff Steve Marshall's done. But anyway,
that's coming.
I want to go to this. Josh, you probably looked at this and I have too. The Cannabis Commission now has been sued again, this time for trying to wiggle out of giving depositions under some other false cover. They just don't want to talk about what they did in private sessions.
They're calling it the deliberative process privilege.
Right.
I think they made that one up. What do you think, Josh?
I don't know that they made it up, but they certainly are looking for creative ways to get out from having to tell people exactly why they chose the people that they chose for these licenses. And I think that's the main key here is that's really all that anybody has asked for.
That's right.
Out of this lawsuit, if you boil it down to it, the main question remains, why did you choose these people? Explain to the public why you chose these people. You know, I don't understand why they don't just solve it.
I mean, and Governor Ivey is called for the kind of transparency and honesty, open meetings that they are trying to ignore. They are basically, they are telling Governor Ivey, well, they're giving her the Bronx cheer.
Susan. Yes, they are giving her the Bronx cheer. And why would they not want to give these depositions? I got a feeling it's not about who's going to jail, but how many are going to jail, because there's only one factor here that is consistent is where is the money going?
Nobody's going to jail. I mean, nobody goes to jail anymore. Well, but I mean, so you know,
that goes back to the ethics thing. Right. But yeah, no, it's a matter of where did the kickbacks go? That's the only thing I can figure.
Yeah, and we know this. If people aren't being honest in government, all you have to do is look at where the money is.
Always.
And I think that is likely. I think that's what a lot of people suspect is that there is some sort of nefarious act that has taken place behind the scenes that led to a lot of these decisions. Yeah. And the reason they believe that is because a lot of the decisions have been so curious, have been so weird. Yeah. And, you know, look, there is a proposal right now in front of the legislature to get this thing fixed. And it's basically to let the free market handle it, award the license to the people who meet the qualifications, award however many meet the qualifications, and then let them sort it out.
Okay, to start with, but good luck.
All right. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
It's time. Time we had someone in Congress fighting for us. As Democratic leader in the State House, Anthony Daniels helped steer millions of dollars into our district, fighting to raise wages, invest in our infrastructure, and create good jobs. Now he's passed a new law, removing state taxes on overtime pay, putting more money in our pockets. It's time for Anthony Daniels for Congress. One of us for all of us.
I'm Anthony Daniels, and I approve this message.
As a paramedic, you wouldn't believe the things that we've seen.
I've seen all types of horrible things.
I mean, we're there basically picking up the pieces from your worst day.
Everyone is just driving and not paying attention.
We all have the same goal. All of us want to go home alive and safe and harm nobody else in the process.
Slow down. Be careful. Care about the other people on the road. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. The Alabama Supreme Court has now ruled that a frozen embryo is a person, is a living human being. This was after a court case involving a couple whose frozen embryos were destroyed at a Mobile clinic after they were dropped on the floor or whatever it was happened. That it went to the Supreme Court and they used biblical explanations how that a fertilized egg that has been frozen is actually a living human being, even though you could put Josh in a cryogenic container and we would have to have a discussion with his wife about that.
But what they've done is they've stopped all IVF because of that. They're actually preventing life from taking place because now these IVF clinics, they can't actually do anything. They don't know where to go legally. They don't know what to do. So they've stopped everything. So people that have invested, and this is the ignorance of the Alabama Supreme Court. They didn't think this through. So now what they've done, instead of preserving life, they've actually stopped real life possibilities. So now they've stopped life at 7 cells, and women that have spent tens of thousands of dollars and some have mortgaged their houses, spent their life savings, in order to be able to have a child, cannot use their own embryos to get pregnant.
Josh, this is a terrible situation because it really makes women nothing more than incubators, the way they treat them by the legal system in Alabama.
Yeah, you know, and it's a terrible situation because, as we all know from the Dobbs decision, we need a larger domestic supply of infants. Exactly. I mean, you know, we've got to get it straightened out. You know, this is the consequences of electing judges based on who is or isn't woke. Okay,
yeah, right.
This is the people. You know, you want better judges, you want less stupid decisions. Actually, study who's running for the Supreme Court, and maybe if you're the Alabama Democratic Party, put some candidates up there. Because you know who doesn't do this? Democrats.
Yeah.
Democrats don't do this.
Yeah.
All right. You can disagree with a lot of different things, but somehow or another, over the course of the last 20 years or so, the Democrats have become the party of personal responsibility and allowing people to make their own decisions and have freedoms. And this is a big one here because this decision, it has shut down UAB's clinic, which is one of the best in the country, because they are so concerned about what their legal exposure is on things and whether or not they're going to have to pay if an accident occurs.
Yeah. You know? Because this is now... can be, if you accidentally destroy an embryo or destroy one on purpose, you can be charged with wrongful death.
Yeah,
right.
You can go to prison for 20, 25 years for killing a child.
And let me make a big emphasis on that. Again, this is showing their ignorance. Part of IVF, and we have this in our own family, part of IVF is not passing on generational defects, not passing on, you know, crippling illnesses from one generation to another. So in IVF, you can actually take the embryos and determine if that has genetically has that cell or not. And if it does, it's destroyed. Now,
I mean,
is this something, you know, if it has any kind of defects or it has this, what is the IVF clinic to do?
Well, and the thing is, they always have multiple when they implant them because many of them are not viable.
Exactly.
So if you follow this logically through, then someone's going to be responsible for keeping those embryos alive in perpetuity.
Right.
Now, these parents one day are going to die. So does the burden fall to the children now to keep a 40, 50-year-old embryo alive cryogenically?
It's God's wishes, Bill.
And that's what really is so terrible, right? They say that these embryos have people in there who are made in God's image. I wish they'd really read the scriptures.
Yes, I would.
Because they could not be more wrong.
But they quoted the scripture instead of quoting the law.
Yeah.
That is not the job of the Alabama Supreme Court.
It is not. You know, especially if you have no clue about what you're talking about.
Obviously.
I mean, this is more aligned with the Wahhabist that it is, and the people from the Handmaid's Tale than anything else. I want to get to another just absolutely silly bill. The Alabama legislature wants to define what is a woman.
Mm. That's the name of the bill.
I mean, Josh, this is really just aimed at transgender women. That's all that is. They want to disenfranchise them and make them feel little and small, as they have been all their lives.
Well, as I've said before, it's pretty easy to identify the women in most Alabama counties, including the county where Susan DeBose, who's the sponsor of this bill, is from. Well, because all you have to do is look for the lady on the side of the road giving birth, because she can't make it to a pregnancy center because they've all closed. Because the people that were supposed to represent them in those counties are spending time on stupid shit. Okay? And you know, it just, again, there are so many actual problems.
Yeah.
And this is what we've wasted time on, time and again, with this. Now, there, you know, there was this great exchange between Chris England and a pastor about what the, you know, the, these definitions in these bills and how they affect real people. And he was asking me, are you going to exclude these folks? Well, I didn't say that at all. But that's exactly what you're talking about doing. This, you know, this idea that you're not discriminating while you're discriminating has taken hold in this, and it's all for silly votes.
Where is the companion bill? What is man? Where is that bill?
Yeah.
Well, do we have a real problem defining, you know, what is a man in this state?
It's
obviously we do, if they need to define what a woman is.
It's really difficult to find some real men sometimes because they're just weak. They're weaklings that are lily-livered weaklings who kowtow to the base of the Republican Party. And this is a national agenda thing where they want to separate people and cause harm.
I saw a story yesterday as well where they have now, for the first time, genetically created male testicles in a lab. And so I think this might solve the Republican Party's problems.
There you go.
Well,
it's all it is right now, both locally and nationally, is hatred, separation.
You know, I was talking to a guy, and I would, very educated, and that may be his problem, of course. I'm sure that's what people say. He'd been a Republican all his life. And he said, you know, I woke up and I found out that as of 2018, the Republican Party has no plans. Man. They have no plan to govern. He said, I have voted Democrat because they're more closely aligned to the party of Ronald Reagan now than these guys were, in the form of that they don't want to govern. They don't want the government in your life, and they want to help people to achieve greatness and to make America great.
Well, here's what they have been able to accomplish and make their mission. The old adage of divide and conquer. They're dividing and conquering the voters.
They've not had a platform for quite some time.
Yeah.
And that, in some of the most recent elections, the exit polls showed that has cost them. People have become to realize that this is an issue for that party.
Unfortunately, we've run over out of time. You've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us because we watch them.